The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to a special edition of North American Wrestling Connection. I'm here with Jim Williams and Jason Block and a special guest, a fine performer from the Cincinnati area who now resides in Pensacola, Florida. Please welcome HWA, part-time EC, one-time ECW guy, WWE Tag Team Champion, OVW Wild Samoan, and a very good friend of mine, superhero sidekick, Rosie. Rosie, it's good to have you on tonight.
That is awesome. I'm so happy that you didn't use a fat ass Samoan like I thought you were going to do. But
Wait a minute. We just talked about that right before we hit the record button, and you said that. Well played.
If it wasn't for you guys are just, I love y'all. You guys are awesome.
And the feeling's mutual. Go ahead, Nikki.
I'm going to start off with the before you were into wrestling, like most Samoans, you played football in high school. Did you also play in college?
Yes. Well, I played at University of Hawaii, and then I went over to Old Miss for about a semester, and then I went down to the Delta, went back to Hawaii, and then started wrestling.
And I what is it about you Samoans and playing,
we did all that in 5 years, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, but you ran into some dude named Emmett Smith along the way.
Oh, that was in Pensacola. Yeah, we played ball out at Bellevue Ballpark, and then I went over to Myrtle Grove for a year, and then I didn't see Emmett again until I started at Escambia High School.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, let me raise the obvious question. Having played alongside him at a scholastic level, did you think at that time, this guy might be pretty good? He might go places in football.
Oh, no. There wasn't no thinking. Everybody knew. you just knew it. Mm-hmm. Emmett was kind of like my brother. You just knew something good was going to happen. You didn't know exactly what. And you didn't know to the level that it would go. But both of them are doing pretty good at answering a lot of questions that a lot of people might have had, you know, early on in their careers. But, yeah, everybody always knew Emmett was going to do great. The fact that he's the leading rusher in the history of football, that, of course, it was expected, and he didn't let anybody down. But then we've also had a lot of great folks here, including the Usos and Roy Jones Jr., pound for pound, one of the best, Smoke Gainer. We've had a lot of folks in Pensacola that has earned the right to put their name on a billboard and outside I-10, you know, coming into town. But yeah, we've had a lot of folks that that's been able to make a name for themselves from Pensacola.
Mm. Now, this is Jason Block here. You said after your college career, you got into wrestling. Who did you train under, and how long did you train for before you started actually doing independent stuff?
I kind of started, I trained on the road. my dad started me in New Orleans. I basically called him up and said, well, yeah, I want to start learning, you know, training to wrestle. And he moved over from Pensacola and started training me in New Orleans. And then I kind of started moving on from there, moved up to the Northeast, up in Long Island. Worked for various promotions up there, Lou Reardon, just a bunch of folks. Ended up making my way back and forth to my uncle's school in Allentown, and just kind of did it on the road. You know, I tried to use as many connections as I could to get where I had to go, and Puerto Rico was a good place to go. And but yeah, I didn't really learn in the school or what have you. I just learned basically from what I've learned from my family just growing up. Not a lot of people's got a wrestling ring in their backyard, but I did. So
yeah,
it was a little bit different for me.
Well, when you did finally get signed with the Fed, you actually got to work for a little while in Heartland when it was still a developmental for WWE. I didn't get to poke my head in over there until after you'd been called up north. Tell me a little bit about how HWA was structured in the early 2000s. I know Les was still running it.
Les was running. Running the show. This was the first time that we were in developmental in Memphis under MCW.
Okay.
And that didn't last very long. We were there for probably about 3 months, maybe 2.5, somewhere around 3 months. But then we went up to Les's up at HWA, and it seemed pretty structured. I mean, we kind of did basically just a bunch of drills to, you know, stay in the ring and make sure that, you know, we weren't all sitting in the bars or strip clubs enjoying that check that we were getting every Tuesday. But,
a lot of, and there were a lot of them in that area.
Oh, man, I hate to say it, but you guys are slacking up in Ohio for. You know, I worked in strip pubs for 12 years, and I just hate to say it, they weren't a part of, I just didn't try and make it my agenda to go to any of the so-called strip clubs up there. Yeah, either or.
Were you a bouncer?
Oh, no, he's talking after shows, kind of like at Ohio Valley when second Saturday in Cincy, when we'd finish up, everybody go down to Kentucky and we go to the B-dubs.
No, I didn't make any of them, to be honest with you. I went to a few of them and it just took one or two, but by that time, like I said, I worked in strip clubs for a long time before that. So before the wrestling career. Well,
right.
Go ahead. So, yeah, I pretty much had my fill of the strip clubs that were, they just weren't all that. So, sorry, girls, you were all right. Served your purpose at the moment, at that time, but after that, wasn't going to.
They've got to get through college somehow, right?
Well, hey. If they're, you know, if they're working for that type of goal, then sure, you know, I'll donate to any cause as long as it's a good one.
I think I'm a little too young for this conversation. No, let me try to steer this back towards the wrestling.
You guys didn't think you were getting any of this kind of shit out of me, did you?
Hey, some of this is the best stuff.
Absolutely.
Every now and then, I just like to throw people off. So,
That's perfectly fine. We're all a little scatterbrained anyway, so it's all good. Especially our hostess. But continue, Nikki.
Hey. He's not wrong. You did a stint for a little over a year with Eddie Fatu, with your cousin Jamal Umaga, whichever I keep, you know, I got all the names, and God love him, God's got him, when you guys were working this 3-minute warning. But the angle kind of got dropped abruptly in early 2003. Am I allowed to ask you about that?
Yeah, well, it got dropped. The internet was working full force back then, so there wasn't really nothing that didn't get put on the internet. So if you're asking me if I want to talk about it, not really, but it was something I thought that, it got interrupted a little bit too prematurely. But, I don't know, things happen for a reason, and...
Well, can I ask about one aspect of it? I don't know, because I have a sort of a personal connection with one of your victims.
Oh, here we go.
I have to ask this.
Give him room.
Oh, okay.
He's Lesbo?
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Second girl.
All right. No. It was when you...
Well,
when you,
if it was her, then I didn't have nothing to do with it. I wasn't the one that super kicked her ass, so...
No. I was talking about Lillian Garcia. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
I'm sorry. I love Lillian. She's a great person.
Jason does, too. Hence, there's a restraining order on him.
No. Would you
states,
stop with the restraining order? There is no
five provinces and the island of Samoa.
No.
It's a running gag. No, I'm just asking. You know, she's not a person who usually takes bumps. So, how did you work that out? Because that was pretty vicious, what you did.
Well, I didn't really. There really wasn't nothing to work out. It wasn't, I don't know. I just, we did what we did, and I saw her after, and she was okay. She looked okay. So I was like, all right on. So I went and got dressed. I don't.
just another day at the office, man.
Pretty much, as long as everybody walks out of the building, then sure, I'm all right with it.
So, I know you drifted Monday
Night Raw.
Go ahead.
No, nothing. It's Monday Night Raw. I'm not gonna want anything that wouldn't be what. The universe wants, WWE universe wants. It's sure. Definitely not going to lighten up because it's freaking her. So,
well, they kind of got you lightened up. They had you lightened up a bit as you drifted as kind of a generic heel bully for a few months, and then you got hooked up with Hurricane, where Goldust kind of promo bombed your nickname.
Right. Well, yeah, but there's some things that happen, and you sit there and think about it, and then there's some things that you think about personally, and I don't know. Of course, who the hell wants to get called a shit? But at the same time, I was just at a period in my life then where I was still really into... doing acting and stuff like that. It wasn't far from me getting accepted on Oz for the HBO show. And so I was just like, well, I can try it. And then Vince basically was like, couldn't you imagine all these kids that have SHIT written on their shirt.
Vince and poop humor. What a shock, right?
Yeah. We'll be happy with that. So,
I just wanted to see if it actually made it to the production
phase. It
was
more of a talent. To be honest with you, I'm going to let you know straight up. I didn't really give a shit about it, but until I did it, man, it just took like 2 nights of watching these kids go crazy about it that just made me, it switched my head up a little bit, you know, and it was just kind of, it went from being embarrassingly weird to fun.
Yeah, you seemed like after a while you truly embraced the character, and
it turned into being fun.
Yeah.
And it's just, that was... That's kind of why I latched onto it. It's at one point you had said it yourself. This is probably the dorkiest thing you'd ever done.
Well, yeah, but yeah, by far.
But you were having fun with it. The kids were having fun with it, and that's why I was fairly inspired, and that's why I showed up with so many comic book posters of you guys as a tag team during that stretch from 03 to 05.
Right, I know.
You were the only tag team that stayed together that whole time.
Right. Well, I don't know. I still have two of those up in my, I hate to say them, they're in my storage, but...
It's all right.
But I'm still in between Pensacola and Cincinnati quite often. So, but yeah, it was fun. It did. A lot of kids, they started digging it, and you know, it got to be fun. And I was like, all right, well, this is, hey, I could be doing this for the biggest company on the planet, or I could be doing it, you know, probably at an independent show or somewhere in Japan, which proved to be right all the way around. But it was just fun. I don't know. I just dug the way the kids looked at it. My kids, you know, their friends at school. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh.
Then Umaga came out.
Yeah, oh boy.
And my kids were like, why didn't you be that one, Dad? And I was like,
you manga, yes.
I missed it like 3 years. I don't know why, son.
You missed, but sad thing is you missed it. You only missed it by a few months because Umaga debuted in what? 06?
Right.
And you were... You know, I know you had either just been released or they were getting ready. You ended up released before this happened.
Well, I got released. We pretty much came to agreement that I was just going to go ahead and I wanted to go to Japan. When they didn't bring 3 minute warning back, which is what I was politicking for, and when they decided to put Eki in Umaga, I totally understood it. So I was like, well, that's fine. Just, I think I can do good just going to Japan and, you know, disappearing for a little while. Because they wanted me to go to OVW, which I didn't have a problem at doing that, but, you know, sometimes there's financial situations that you got to keep yourself inclined to, and going to OVW just didn't fit my budget at the time.
No, I can understand that.
So I had to kind of make a family call, and either way, it kind of worked out for the better, but it kind of worked out for the worst. But at the same time, okay, well, it wouldn't have mattered. Anything past 2008 wouldn't have mattered anyway. Being that I went into, you know, with my heart condition and stuff, so.
You bring that up, and actually this is something I asked Nikki if it was okay to talk about with you. You were on a reality show on ABC about 10 years ago called Fat March.
Right.
You're trying to, you know, get fit, lose weight, and what have you. In the recent of course, there have been many clones of The Biggest Loser, and this was one of them. And in recent months and years, we've learned that The Biggest Loser really does more harm than good to a lot of the competitors. They dog your backside, and it's not the right way to do things. You ended up having to leave the competition due to injuries. I'm just curious, kind of a behind-the-curtain thing when it comes to being on that reality show. Did they dog you too hard? Did they push you too hard, like you see the Jillian Michaels types on The Biggest Loser pushing people too hard?
No. What we were doing wasn't really strenuous. I would be honest with you, I would have applauded The Biggest Loser tactic versus doing what I did. I didn't know what I was doing.
Really?
Until they announced it the day before we started doing it. And bottom line is, I could have finished it, but I just didn't know that I was going to be walking for 9-10 hours a day. And with a knee issue that I've had with my left knee, that blood circulation wasn't going through. So it was either the doctor was basically telling me, you can try and finish 2 weeks out, but we'll probably have to cut your leg off, or you can let your leg de-swell, you can get off of it, and, eventually get your knee fixed, which was total reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So I opted to keep my leg.
Well, yeah, smart move, obviously. But, do you think some of that was, the way the show was? I mean, it probably didn't help your cause to some degree, considering, you're preparing for what you're preparing for. Then they say, you're going to walk for like 9 or 10 hours a day.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that if it would have been more of a Biggest Loser type thing where you're more in a gym and you're not just concentrating on walking for, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, but where to you break it up to where the workout is more, structured for upper body or just different calisthenics that doesn't concentrate on beating your knee up on pavement for, 10, 14 miles a day.
So, yeah, I mean, that just asks for trouble, yeah. It seems like, if you're going to be pounding the pavement, no pun intended, for that long a period of time each day.
I don't think that they had, of course, the people they had on there, they weren't anywhere, at least 4 or 5 of them weren't anywhere close to being any kind of physically fit to really do that, and that's probably why there was a few folks that fell out early. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I lost 93 pounds in 8 weeks, so I was happy.
There you go. Yeah. And you keep on keeping on. I'm just curious. I know from your bio and what have you that you have various interests, not just in wrestling, but outside of wrestling. We'll get to the wrestling ones in a second. You're quite the restaurateur, I hear.
Well, I have stepped into the restaurant business, and I'm currently in a form of the restaurant business, which is more of a food truck, trailer, barbecue business. So yeah.
Oh.
I've always liked to grill, and this has always been something that's been. Just something I've always wanted to do, and I've never had anybody complain about my barbecue yet. So
my only complaint is you won't drive this far north.
Yeah, tell us the name of it and tell us all about it. Plug it. Come on.
Yeah, well, no, I do Two Brothers Barbecue, and we run a food truck trailer, which is not, we got to drive the trailer around, but it's a full service kitchen, and we've got a full-scale smoker that we can do anything from sausage links, whole pork, whole hogs, everything. And then we run a grill on the side that we can take care of any kind of Samoan chicken or any of the Hawaiian plate lunches that you'd get out of Hawaii, or what you would have got from if you've ever been to my restaurant in Cincinnati, which was Island Boy Grill. So, yeah, we're trying to serve up a lot. I mean, shit, we even got cotton candy.
So something for everybody, yeah.
We do, yeah. It runs all the way, you know, from the little ones to the big ones.
Very nice.
But it's good food, and we serve it up every day.
And you still find time in between to at least make appearances. I presume because of your heart condition that you don't actually actively participate.
It's against my cardiologist his wishes, but every now and then, I'm not scared to get in the ring and do something. Obviously, it's not going to be, 120% or what have you. But yeah, usually I try and stick to the personal appearances and special guest appearances. And then if it's something that I can work my way into the ring just to do something, then sure, but I do pretty good getting along with all the fans while I'm there. I don't hide in the locker room until it's my time. I'll be out there the whole show, just making sure everything's good. Plus, it gives me a chance to critique a lot of the boys that are working on the show too. Because that's more important to me than anything, because they're the ones that they're the real reason why, all those folks are there.
Now you said because you run this promotion, you are looking at it from a different eye. How is it different from actually being a performer as actually critiquing the younger talent that you're observing?
Well, I mean, the critique and what you're looking at, it doesn't matter if I'm being a promoter or not. The critique's going to be the same. It's not coming. I don't have a promoter side and a worker side of critiquing somebody. The bottom line is, I'm going to tell you what I think can help you and what I think you need to shy away from, or what you need to improve on. So, that critique's always going to be the same. There's no different. That's just going to be one-sided. And that's just the way I've learned and got raised in the business, and that everything that I can try and pass on to anybody else that, that it'll work for.
Would that include your little brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wanted to put that out there because we're here to talk about you, man, but at some point Joe was going to come up.
Well, of course.
So, I know, but seeing, your brother being the man right now, or at least one of the men right now, I know this is a very cliche question, but how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. How would I not feel?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
I would just hope that,
it sucks, man. I hate it.
No.
Come on, we need you to break out of your shell.
Don't hold back, hero. Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, tell us about that bitter pill. No.
No, come on. That's my brother, man. That's my little brother.
So very
I know everybody. hear, oh, no, I could have did this, I could have done that. You know what? We've all done something to whatever degree or whatever level. We're still the Samoan dynasty, and I'm a proud member, you know? There's going to be highs and lows, middles and
peaks and valleys,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is I'm a part of that and I'm an official member. So, hey, I'm just damn glad that my little brother is doing what he's doing, you know, this shit. He's taking over the world and that's awesome. Shit. How can you not be happy about that?
One Superman punch at a time. Absolutely. Yeah. To that point, you talked about you do personal appearances all the time and occasionally get in the ring and what have you. Are you amazed that here you are, say, 10, 12 years after your time in WWE, and people still remember you, revere you, like you, come up to you and thank you for all the memories you've given them over the years?
I think the internet, obviously, that's what basically kept it alive. But, you know, shit, mm-hmm. Hell yeah, that's awesome, you know, because I've lived in a period of time where, you know, you were forgotten 2 weeks after you were off TV. Now, you know, yeah, through the social networking graces of, yeah, it is cool, and I do feel awesome that I've got legit fans. You know, of course, I've got a ton of people that the only reason they want a friend request me is because of Joe and all that stuff, which is fine. It's absolutely fine. You know, but I at this point, I don't look at it as being self-gratified for just the fact that Joe's my brother. I feel self-gratifying that Sika Hawaii is my dad. Aka Hawaii is my uncle. You know, Yokozuna, Rikishi, Samu, Tonga Kid, they're my cousins. So it all ties into one. Pretty cool. You guys are about to make me cry, so I'm gonna shut up.
on a very special NAWC podcast. No, we're not gonna try to. We're not trying to make anybody cry here.
I don't like making big guys cry.
You do that to me every week, but that's a different story. That's a completely different story. I wanted to get back and talk a bit about the promotion you have a hand in, and that's Epic Championship Wrestling. And I'm just going over to the schedule here, and I noticed there's a big event coming up next weekend on the 20th of February. If you'd like to plug it and promote it, you're more than welcome to.
Right. No, we're in Pensacon. Me, my dad, Brian Knobs, Greg Valentine, Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, we'll all be there signing the autographs from February 19th, which is Friday, till the 21st. And then Epic will be running the show at 12 o'clock Saturday afternoon. So, of course, everybody mentioned above will be in attendance, and we're just going to have some fun over the weekend. It's down at the Pensacola Civic Center. You can get any information from pensacon.com. Or you can go to Epic Championship Wrestling Facebook page and get information there as well. So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, and it's Epic, and also online at epicchampionshipwrestling.com. That's the Pensacola Bay Center on East Gregory Street in Pensacola on the 20th from noon to 3 o'clock.
All right, there it is.
There, can you hire him as an announcer now?
I'm looking for the work, bro. I'm not trying to just, you know, sugarcoat it, but.
No.
Well, I guess that's a no.
We'll figure it out. We should figure that out.
Jeez. Yeah, I do public address announcing for basketball and baseball here in southern New Jersey, so I could be an announcer. I could get you coffee. Whatever it may be.
Coffee sounded good.
Coffee, yeah, well, there you go. How do you like it? With sugar, cream, what do you want?
I'm sure we'll be able to get you fitted on that show, no problem.
Oh, there you go. Bless your heart.
I'll talk to the boss.
Yeah. Oh, that boss. Yes, well, there you go.
But you might have to pay his trans. Well.
Yeah, the trans would be problematic. I just thought about that. Yeah, well, it's all good. It's just an honor to talk with you, seriously. So,
yeah.
Seriously, dude, I really appreciate you taking some time to swing by and talk with us tonight and let us pick your brain a little bit about the business and, you know, where you've been, where you're going, and how the Samoan dynasty is holding up in the wrestling business, because people still, you know, we still talk about you. I still talk about you just because I'm still a fan.
That does mean a lot, because Nikki, you know, you've always been one of my good friends in the business. So.
And I miss working with you, man. I wish I could find my way back down there. I've got family in Kissimmee and Melbourne.
That's a little bit away from Pensacola, but.
Oh, I know. Trust me, because I went to college at Florida State, and Pensacola was another 2 hours after that. So that's an 8-hour drive. I already know how, you know, just that.
Right.
But I would love to, you know, if I could swing it, if I could hit the lottery, or if what I'm trying to work on up here actually starts making me some actual money, I might skip out one weekend and fly down. I'll give you a heads up though. I'm coming down for food.
I'll be coming up that way too, as well. So, yeah.
Now keep me posted. I got a couch. I don't know if it's not a big couch, but it's a couch.
I'm sure you guys got a hotel somewhere around there. That'll be good.
All right. Well, Rosie, I really appreciate your time, man. And again, you are appreciated, and the Samoan dynasty is always respected in this business. And if somebody doesn't respect them well, there's going to be, I can think of at least 5 people that'll be on their ass for it.
Yeah.
Starting with Papa Sika.
Well, you know, we appreciate everybody. Thanks. Whether they're booing my brother or not, we still love them.
Actually, that's one question I do want to ask, because I'm just curious from a personal perspective. Roman had Joe had a little trouble trying to get the fans, you know, the fans in his corner through a good chunk of 2015, from getting booed out of the building at the Rumble to finally winning them over by punching out the evil boss, Triple H's ass, you know, 11 months later. Did you give him some advice, or was he shaking it off like we were seeing?
I didn't give him. I always give him advice, but I'm always doing it via text. You know, so I mean, be honest with you, I don't remember. I don't even remember what he texted me after. You know, I say my little bit on pay per views and after his match on Monday night, and you know, he'll get back to me if he's got time with. Which is basically all the time, but, you know, I don't know. He just, I was just happy to hear what he got out of Philly the last time around. You know, that was, to me, that was pretty cool, because I kind of blasted Philly on Facebook after they booed him after, you know.
After the Rumble? Years. Yeah.
Right. But then when they gave him props the way they did, you know, the next year, you know, hey, right on. I just, Philly and a lot of the Northeast areas, it's I take it a little personal because I know how they feel about wrestling. I know how they, you know.
They're a tough crowd.
Well, they're a tough crowd, but you know everybody up there. You know, all the way to the Midwest. It's I'm just used to being raised up on this side of the country, so I don't really know how the West Side is. I just know how the East and the Northeast and the South are, and they keep a lot to heart. So when they do cheer you, that means, yeah. I was happy that they gave my brother props because he deserved it and he's earned it. So
no question about
hopefully everybody will be happy with that for the next 15, 20 years until some other 20-year-old superstar comes along. And
wouldn't his name be Koa?
Yeah. To be honest with you, yes, it is. It's going to be Koa Hawaii, but I'm pretty sure Madison's going to beat him to it. But
ooh.
Both of them, I think, has got a very, very bright future if they choose to be in the WWE.
And the dynasty continues.
Oh, I love you, Madison and Koa. I love you guys.
Nice.
So, again, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you putting up with us, and you know what we say is true.
Oh, it's all good.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the only person in the wrestling business who got a context relevant holy shit chant. Oh, hi.
There you go.
That'd be me.
Rosie, once again, thank you so much for chatting with us, and hopefully we'll have you on the show again soon.
Anytime.
All right.
Just I won't stall so long. So
yeah, about that. You owe me a full rack of ribs, man. Actually, no, you gave me one before we started.
Week.
Huh?
Book me for next week. It'll get done by next year. So
that's about right.
By the time we actually get to it, it'll be next year. So
there you go.
All good. Thanks again, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Love you guys. Love you guys. Have fun.
Bye. Thanks.
You got it. We'll be right back.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.